Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story. Well, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
My name is Jolene Gordon.
Michael Gordon.
Okay, perfect. And we've got you on the Love Story Podcast. So, you guys love each other, I assume.
Sometimes.
Most days.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
How much sleep we got.
Yeah. No, but yes, tremendously.
Yeah. Sleep and food-based is the love meter.
If we're hangry or not.
Yeah. So. Okay. So the whole kind of premise of what we're doing here is we're telling your love story. So we'll go back to the very beginning. How did you guys meet?
Well, okay. Before we start, do you want the version we tell our parents or the version that women read in their books?
I want both.
A mix. Well, the version we tell our parents is we met at a company party.
Uh-huh.
And which we kind of just leave it at that.
Yep. Okay.
Which is true. Yeah.
Which is true.
So we were working for the same company, and every year we have this annual meeting that the leaderships get together. Mm-hmm. And I saw Michael across the bar. Yeah. I was like, damn. I would love to climb that big oak tree, you know, red tree.
Yep.
And I was just drinking, having a good time, trying to ignore everyone possible because I did not want to be there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
did you even know that, like, you were being hunted at that point?
No.
No.
Blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
Slam of beers, firing off finger guns.
I was recently divorced and I was kind of like over the dating scene in the early 30s. Mm-hmm. It's just atrocious. It's awful.
Yes.
But I saw him and I was like, wow, that's a beautiful human. And then I'm like, okay, well, I need to not do that. We're at a company party. And one thing led to another, and some Jameson was involved.
Uh-huh.
And I got the courage.
Meister and Rumpelmans and
IPAs. And I got liquid courage to come up and talk to him. My boss.
Shaking? Hello.
I actually don't remember the first conversation. It was Appleder Tap House. I went inside. My boss said, go inside and get some shots of Jameson. And I was like, sure. And I went inside and I came out and he was talking to him. And I was like, humana. I have no clue. The night progressed and then one thing led to another. And the next day my boss was like, all right, well, what do you think? And I mean, it was really cool. And I'm like, well, I said, what's his name?
Yeah.
Because everyone called him Gordo.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know what his real name is.
Do we call him that?
Well, all of his friends and stuff, they called him Gordo. And they're
I hadn't heard my name used so often.
Your
until
Christian
I moved
name.
To Minnesota.
Yeah. So then I naturally creeped on him on Facebook.
Of course.
And gave him a little bit of a background check. And all things panned out. And so I sent him a message on Facebook and it said, Brandon made me do it, who's my boss. And we just started talking and things progressed. He lived in Jamestown, North Dakota. We were about 4 hours away and did the long distance.
Jamestown is 4 hours from here?
Yeah. So we did the long distance thing for about 9 months. And I was nervous and scared to get my heart broken again. Mm-hmm. So I was like, here is my suitcase of baggage.
Yeah. Let me just tell you everything.
And he stuck around. So there we are.
Especially after that first Thanksgiving.
We're leaving a few things out, but the adults can put two and two together.
So you go get the shots. You come out. Okay, now I'm going to have to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't even know what's happening. At this point, do you know that Jolene, now do you know you're being hunted?
No.
No? Blissfully unaware?
No, I was oblivious to the world, trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Because after Boulder, I was like, you know, I'm tired. I got to drive back to Jamestown in the morning. Just gonna go to the liquor store and get a beer and go watch movies and just fall asleep.
I didn't let that happen.
It was early.
I went up to him at one point and I said, hey, why don't you, when I was the general manager at Old Brick House downtown, I was like, you should come and check out this cool Irish pub. And he said, yes. And
that was sweet.
So that was the next day, like instead of going back to Jamestown.
No, that was that night.
Oh, that night. Okay.
Yeah, that night. Yeah. So
We got there. She talked with some work people. I was like, all right, cool. Well, I'm just going to wander around. It's like, all right, I don't know anybody here, but I had a Guinness I had to finish.
Right.
Like, all right.
Yeah, you've got
I'll
a job to
find my
to
way
do.
Back to my hotel after this. Then someone fed me food. Like, okay.
Delicious food over there.
I think it was the pretzels.
Oh,
I think someone fed me the pretzels.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then we were going to go to the Pickaloon, naturally, because that's where you end
that's
the evening.
That's where you go,
And I got the courage and I went up and I held his hand while we were walking.
Jolene.
I know.
Scandalous.
But he's like a foot taller than me and I was just like, you know.
You were wearing heels that night though. You were at least
six. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So you go up, you grab his hand as you're walking. The first night that you meet this man, you held his hand?
I did. I don't know what demon took over me or like encouraging person. I don't know. Yeah. I just was like, I'm like, whatever. What have I got to lose? Like,
it's because I'm a perfect gentleman.
I was just really intrigued. And
his hand looked cold.
Yeah. I don't know. We started talking and I was just like, something about him. I just need to continue to mm-hmm. be around him. So
mm-hmm. I was very intrigued though. As much as I wanted to get back to my hotel, because it's like, I was recently broken up with my recent ex. Yeah. Not even 4 months. Okay. So I was like, didn't care about anything. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, like, numb inside, drinking a beer, whatever.
She's pretty. I'll give it. And she's cool.
And she's persistent. She's holding my hand.
Yeah. So. And she drinks bourbon. So yeah. He was like, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, you came back at Boulder with 3 shots of Jameson, 1 for someone else. I stole their shot. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a match made in history. I mean, really, over Jameson, do you really, you know?
That's great... how love begins.
Yes. That is true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so you're mosey after the Pickled Loon. You're hanging out. You hung out all night, hitting bars and doing the thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, yes. We went to the Pickled Loon, and, you know, we were just, a bunch of others followed us, and we think there was karaoke.
I kissed him at the bar. There we go. We'll just say it. The end. We'll just get it out of the way.
Yeah, okay. Whew. Yep. Now that we've got that out of the way, yeah.
She was ordering Sorry, Mom. Bloody Mary at 10 o'clock at night.
That is a psychopath thing to do.
I know.
That's what I said.
I was nervous and anxious, and I needed to slow myself down, so the natural thing was to order Bloody Mary.
I'm going to have boozy soup at the bar.
Uh-huh. At midnight.
My sister is the only other person on the planet that I know who will drink a Bloody Mary at any time of the day. And it'll be like 5 p.m. and she's like, make me a Bloody.
It's not my norm.
You're insane. Oh, okay.
Your sister needs a better shrink. I love Bloody Marys, but man.
There's a time.
Time, place.
Also, you are kind of an a-hole if you order a Bloody Mary like after 5 p.m. It's not cool to break out all the extras.
She comes into my store and she takes Bloody Mary mix off of my store counter off of my shelf, take Bloody Mary mix, and she bought a bottle of vodka, and she was like, will you make me a Bloody Mary? And I was like, I guess it makes me feel like I'm in a little bit more control over what you're robbing me right now, but you're like having me do it for you, and you're a psychopath. And she also had a peppermint white Russian, which is very much a, like, that's a Christmas drink.
Yeah.
It was like...
Like the Cutwater ones?
Yes.
Like, of course.
Those are dangerous. Those are
good. She had one of those, it's like... This is summertime and you're having a peppermint white Russian. She's insane. She's like, I'll drink whatever I want whenever I want it.
She must be a really big Lebowski fan.
She's not.
Never mind.
No, she's a psychopath is what she is. So you have this Bloody Mary at the bar.
I do.
At midnight because you need to slow down your drinking.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And he was talking to somebody that I knew. Well, and you're... I just like inserted myself apparently.
Sure.
Like just like cut in front of them.
Uh-huh.
And then I got the courage and I kissed him, so.
Bloody Mary mouth and all, or was this pre-Bloody Mary?
I think it was post.
Took probably a couple. Yeah, no, it was, because he went away to go talk to people. Then he came back mid-conversation, shimmied her way in there, and went, yeah.
That's your name. Yeah, it worked.
Apparently. He didn't run away, so that's good.
You know, he already said, okay, he's intrigued. She's pretty. Okay, so, all right, it worked out.
Yeah.
And then the next day went off to Jamestown?
Yeah, we stayed up all night talking and we stuff. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. At this point, were you like, let's go through all of my baggage? Or at this point?
The next morning. The next morning, I was just like, I really like this person. And I was just like, all right, well, I don't want to get hurt again. And so I'm going to put this big shield up. And mm-hmm. if he decides to stick around, then obviously there's something. So I was like, hey, I have a son. I'm divorced. I went through a lot with that. And I have a hard time trusting people. And I have this family. And they're pretty boisterous and opinionated mm-hmm. and strong as well. And so here you go. Like, take it or leave it. Yeah. So...
And your response to all of this was, cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
Okay.
I'm pretty...
His friends were very surprised that he, like, they found out that I had a child, you know, because they were like, whoa.
I was very anti-marriage for a very long time.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you made an impact.
Yeah.
Which is
It was the green eyes and the short hair, or the short stature.
Good-looking blondes, I'll tell you.
So you go back to Jamestown, and are you, is this like, were you in your mind, oh, this is the one? Or were you like, that was a fun night? No? Okay.
Fun night, but again, I was intrigued.
Yeah.
And like she said, she spilled a lot of baggage. I'm like, that takes a lot of courage. I'm going to stick around and see what happens.
It worked out for you. So then are you immediately now you're just like texting and...
We started out on Facebook Messenger and just messaging one another back and forth. And then we exchanged numbers and then we started calling and on the phone and we would stay up. You know, I was running a restaurant at the time and he was also at a restaurant at the time. So we kind of had similar schedules. Mm-hmm. So we would stay up pretty late or talk after close. And
the restaurant I was at, I went to a different one, the one that I originally started bartending, and got back in with that flow of things. And my GM was like, hey, do you mind being the main closer again and being the nighttime assistant manager? Like, yeah, anything, man. Just keep me busy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, in North Dakota, you either drink or you're bored of drinking and spending money.
Yeah.
So it's like, unless you're a rich farmer, it's like, all right, I'll just work. It's
like, yeah, so we would FaceTime and stuff and just talk and talk and talk. And then we would only see each other probably about twice a month for 9 months. So I would go there when I didn't have my son. And then he would come see me when I didn't have my son because I just was not ready for that part.
First date was a doozy.
Yeah, our first date, his ex-girlfriend called like 100 times.
It was 9.
Trying to get you back or?
She had just some personal things like going on and just was having a rough time with things. And I just was like, whatever, you know, like we all have our stuff. I'm co-parenting with my ex, so what am I to say to have you not answer a phone call with somebody that you were with for quite some time? So she unfortunately thought that we had started seeing one another when they were still together, which was not accurate. But I totally understand wholeheartedly and respect it and understand that part of it. And so.
Well, and the way a person... Like, it's kind of was like a glimpse into like the type of person that you're on this date with this person. And then you're like, okay, how a person treats wait staff, how a person treats an ex, how they talk about their mom. Like all of these things are indicators of like where a person's heart is at. So you got to see like completely unplanned, whatever. You got to see the type of person that you were, that you had already stuck your tongue down his throat. So yeah, lucky for you.
Yeah. No. And he was very gracious and it was an interesting time. I think that everyone in his life was just very surprised just with his past and his demeanor towards not wanting to get married and not, you know, maybe not kids and stuff. And then we met and we fell very quickly from one another.
When did you drop the L-bomb? Who dropped the L-bomb first?
I think he did.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. She wanted to say it.
I did.
I said it to get it. Oh, I'm just kidding. I said it
first. Oh, okay.
I said it first.
I think that we were probably about like 3 months in.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick.
Three?
Right around there, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Now, looking back, yeah.
Yep.
Was it the 22nd of September when we first started dating?
That's cute that you remember that.
I have a good memory. I just choose not to
use it.
I have selective hearing. I'm a guy, let's be honest.
Yes. So then after Christmas or right around Christmas, you're like, I feel the love. I got to say it.
I think it was before that because...
It was before because the first Thanksgiving is a whole episode of story. Let me just...
That's a very interesting... He met my whole entire family and my child and my ex-father-in-law and everyone that day. So, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yep.
So you had been dating... You would have started dating at the beginning?
We met in like July. Okay. And then we officially... In September and a little bit after that, we said the L word.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Thanksgiving, you're like, hey, come to town. Let's...
He was already in town.
I was already in town.
Okay.
I was supposed to be heading back because that night I had to close the bar. And she had just, she was like, you should come Thanksgiving. I'm like, what?
I don't know what happened. I was just totally invested and I'm like, all right, well, let's do the next step. And if this doesn't scare him, then that's great because
I like that your dating strategy is I'm going to scare you every step of the way and see what happens.
I don't know if I had a strategy because I had never been single for, you know, I was with the same person since I was like 14 to 30. And I think I was just more like, all right, let's just do it. Let's just dive in because if you don't and you just, you know, I don't know. And I was comfortable around him and I was comfortable introducing him to my son and our son now. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So Thanksgiving went well.
For the family history, it went extremely well. Because, well, all right, short, I got face. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
She was trying to scare me and I'll do all the scare tests about her dad. Who's the nicest guy in the world. I was
just being honest. I was saying, hey, I have two older brothers. They're very protective.
My dad's going to show me his guns. Like, okay. My dad has plenty of guns. I don't care about guns, but okay. Still meeting them for the first time.
I'm the baby of the family. And I went through some hardship in my recent divorce. And I was just like, hey, you're going to get the rigor. Like, and he already had a background check because my brother and sister-in-law are police officers. And I was just like, hey.
I passed.
So you were serious. It was a real for real background check.
Yeah.
That's a great strategy to have in your back pocket.
I mean, if you got a kid and stuff and you, I don't know, I just.
Gotta make sure
you plus you can Google pretty much anything about everybody.
Yeah,
so.
That's also true.
Yeah, it's all out there. But yeah, he came to Thanksgiving and I was like, here's my mom, here's my dad, here's our family that are not blood, but like family, my aunt and uncle, all my nieces and nephews. First, he came to the house I was living with another single mom, Kim, at the time. And I was getting ready and I was like, hey, Michael, go to the store and pick something out for Dexter. Like, kids remember toys. He was like 3, just turned 4 at the time. And so he picked out this little fire truck and they hung out in the living room and just chit-chatted and stuff. And,
and your mom heart is just swelling.
Bursting, you know, like just bursting because he like kind of walked over and put his hands on his lap and I was just like, oh gosh, okay, well this is really cute. And so
your cats liked me first.
Yes, my kitty cats did like you first, which is a good sign.
One was sitting there going, I'm watching you, buddy.
What did you think when you met Dee the first time?
Man, this kid has a massive noggin.
You know, the awkward phase of kids and big heads and little legs, especially boys. Yeah, he was in that. He was in that phase. But yeah, came to my parents' house and we're sit there and hanging out and Michael was being introduced to everybody. Unbeknownst, I call him Dexter's grandfather, my ex-father-in-law. He's like family to me. Was coming over because my parents had recently renovated their kitchen and he did it.
So your ex's parents and your parents get along really, like, are they friends?
My ex's dad and stepmother are friends. Yes.
Okay. With your parents?
With my parents. Okay. Yep. It's kind of hard. You know, like, we were together for 14 years. Right. And they built a friendship and relationship with one another, which is really cool. He's not my ex-father-in-law. He's just, you know, he's Dexter's grandfather. Yeah. And so
he's your dad.
He's like a dad
to me.
He grew
up in that house.
Yep. Yeah. But he came over and was installing something, and it was hard.
Blinds.
Yeah, he was installing blinds and
finishing the last part of the kitchen.
And that was hard to have him see that because I think that.
Hard for you. I was right there in the middle of the entryway with locked eyes right away. I'm
like, yeah.
I'm Michael. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Where's another beer?
Because Michael was the second person I've ever brought home next to my ex-husband. And, you know, that kind of just lays it down that past relationship is done. Yep. You know, that the person is moving on and and it's difficult for everybody around. So,
Yeah, it definitely. And like also a testament, you know, for you to have gone and for, you know, the family to like the fact that you felt comfortable enough to say like, hey, let's do this. You know, obviously there's some level of like, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
I hope.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Green Thumb, Etc., home of custom furniture upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com, Facebook, or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast that you can get bonus content on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story Podcast After Dark. Seemed to have gone well.
It did. It went well. Michael was really, really nervous and had a few too many drinks that night and slept walk.
I do well with a lot of... I didn't grow up with a big family. All my family was left behind in California to do whatever drugs and alcohol they wanted to. And I grew up in Washington with my mom, my dad, and my two brothers and dogs.
Yep. That's very it. Small holidays, very, yeah.
And I grew up that, you know, my grandmother would say that family doesn't mean blood. Mm-hmm. And the door is always open and we would always bring, we call them strays home. Mm-hmm. You know, like our friends are our family. And that's just kind of how I grew up, is a big crazy.
The more the merrier.
Yeah, exactly. A big crazy house. And so it was kind of a shell shock for him. So I was like, here's seven kids running around and have fun.
Yeah.
So many ankle biters around. Yeah.
And if you don't, that's a lot. It's kind of like, especially if you don't, if you're not used to it, and then you've got the kids screaming and playing and jumping and whatever. Yes, and
absolutely.
I would rather take a whole restaurant of drunk people over an entire family get together. So at that point, I would have gladly taken it, but because it's easier.
Yeah.
You just say, yeah, you're cut off. Get the heck out of here.
Yeah, everybody leave.
It's like, all right. Hi,
you
kid.
Can say that to kids too.
Yeah. That's
it. You're cut off. I mean, it's kind of the same
more
premise.
Root beer for you.
Mm-hmm. It's the same premise.
Yeah.
So it goes well. Everybody has a good time. Then off to Jamestown the next day again?
Yeah, he left. And then it just kind of progressed from there. He came up for Christmas and spent Christmas with my family as well. And we kind of just did some back and forth involving Dee, our son. Mm-hmm. And it just went from there. And finally, I was just like, hey, this four-hour car ride every other week is just not doing it for me. Yeah. So if we want to, let's dive in. So that... upcoming May, we had gotten an apartment together.
So what was the, how did you make the decision to move everyone to St. Cloud rather than, I mean, I suppose you've got.
It was the custody.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely the custody with Dee and his father. You know, I just straight up told him, I said, hey.
I'm here.
I'm here. Go anywhere. I'm here. You know, until he's 18, I can't go anywhere. And I think he was kind of ready to get out of Jamestown. So
I'd been there for over 9 years. I was kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Can't really progress. So, I mean, went to college, did my thing, wasted my time getting a degree, just like a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, you know what? Change sounds good.
Yeah.
Change sounds good anyways. I'm in.
Yeah. Packed up and moved here. Move in together.
Carbon Sartell.
His dad helped him move, so I got to meet his father, and his mom came out too. So they were both living in Washington State where he grew up at the time, and so I got to meet them. And, yeah, then we... lived in the apartment, and I think that's when COVID hit later on that year. So we did kindergarten during COVID.
Yeah,
that was a really great time.
Uh-huh. Yikes.
And both of us had jobs where we continued to work. We went through that whole process together and bought a house and got married. And here we are. Got two kids. Or not two kids. One kid. Well, we got four fur babies at home.
So when you came here, did you stay with the same company, just transitioned over, or did you find an entire new job?
Nah, I was done with the bar business.
Yeah.
I wanted something different.
Yeah.
I bartended at the Blackberry Ridge Golf Course for a little bit. You told me about the job offering online.
Yeah. I knew. I mean, you know, this town is all about everyone knowing everybody.
Yes,
so
yes.
I knew somebody that worked for the company that he works for that was in, and then he started working for them. He's a chip dealer. He works for Frito-Lay.
So you got all the good
things. The evil empire of the snack business.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Tomorrow morning, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock. It's going to be great.
So he went up going to bed at 3, and then now he gets up at 3 for work, so it's kind of opposite. So.
Yeah.
Going to bed.
I mean,
I'm still up playing video games at 3 to 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
You can't go to bed straight after closing a bar.
No.
Yeah, you have to decompress, and then it's snore time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you're now working for the evil empire of Frito-Lay. And unless they want to sponsor us, and then we can...
They're not... Yeah, no. We'll sing their Frito-Lay, praises. Their snacks are wonderful. It's just the...
I just say that because, like, I call the New York Yankees the evil empire of the baseball world.
Yes.
So it's like chip. I mean, Frito has over 80% of holding power in most salty snack business. So that's the only reason why I say that.
It's so good.
Not saying anything bad for listening.
He loves his job.
Yes. So hanging out, what was, so then the moving in, when you were like, hey, talking to your son, like, this is going to happen, was he just like super on board right away?
He was. You know, we went through, I think that Dee was young enough that Michael and his new norm of being from a split home, mm-hmm. he was young enough that it affected him and it still affects him. But, you know, Michael's been a part of his life from such a young age that it just was natural.
Yeah.
We went through kind of the awkward trials and tribulations of him coming over and spending some extra time and maybe some of that attention feeling like it's being taken away. But mm-hmm. it's, you know how kiddos and stuff are. And no, he was totally on board. He was really jazzed about it. He just thought that Michael was just this really giant, yeah. amazing creature. And,
yeah.
And, you know, he just adored him, and which I loved. And they just have a really special bond still to this day. He was very on board. I was living in a house prior to that with another single mom that had a child that was younger than Dean. It was tough. He didn't have his own space. So then he got his own room, and we had a place with a pool outside and a hot tub. He was really, really excited about it. So, no, it was a good transition.
And then right into kindergarten through COVID.
That was not great.
Which, to go from to having no kids and working at a bar to then now, like, you have this, like, future stepchild that you're moving in with. At what point was it like, okay, this is, like, I'm a father figure? Was it, like, when you moved in?
That's a tough question, just because it's like you're trying not to overstep boundaries, right. but it's also, okay, you're the adult, this is your home. Mm-hmm. And then to mix that with COVID and all the other crap you couldn't do, it was the reason why I drank a lot more than I did previously. And it's like, so it was tough, but we got through it.
Yeah.
And I mean, helping him with his online learning was just like terrible.
Yeah.
Because it was the same thing over and
kids
over.
Kids don't want to be in there.
Who hates repetitiveness. And it's like, I get it, dude, but just pay attention. Blah,
yeah.
Blah. But she spent the majority of time with that because I was working during the day. Mm-hmm. And I very rarely was I there for that, thank goodness, because I couldn't handle it. I agreed with the kid, like, this is stupid.
Yeah. What are we doing here? Yeah.
Michael was very respectful of, like, he, you know, didn't want to come into Dee's life and be like, I'm your dad.
Right.
Fee-fi-fo-fum kind of thing. You know, he did we're going to be buddies, you mm-hmm. know, and build a relationship together before. And even to this day, you know, I call Michael dad, like, hey, dad has to go here or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, and I think that you have to let the kid kind of guide where that relationship and stuff goes, which is what Michael did naturally really well for even to this day.
You mm-hmm. don't push.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what are you going to get if you do that? So did he at any point, your son, like, did you have the, like, because, like, some kids are like, I want to call him dad. And some kids are just like, I'm not, it doesn't matter. Labels don't matter.
We never really had, like, a formal thing. I just basically said, like, hey, you have your stepmom mm-hmm. and stuff are, you know, in your life, and you have Michael in your life, and whatever you want to call him, you want to call him, and that's completely up to you, whatever you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you got to not force it.
Right.
And I think a lot of people force it, like, you have to call them this, and I don't think you should. I think that, you know, he slips and he says dad, and I'm sure that with his stepmom that he says mom, and the same mm-hmm. thing too, and I think that you just got to let the kid do what they're comfortable with, you know, at whatever phase in their life. And he knows, because he'll say my dad or like my dad. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not about titles.
Right.
It's all about the relationship and about that. It's not about what somebody calls you something.
I forgot what conversation you had with him, but the next day I was in the kitchen doing dishes and he was like, hey, do you want me to call you dad? Or I'm like, I just chuckled, like, call me whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Dexter. I'm going to call you Midget. You can call me Michael. You can call me Redhead. I don't care.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not, you know, you can just call me whatever you want. Just no bad language.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, and the more supportive adults that are in a kid's life, the better. So it's really
absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody's cool.
Yeah. It's just about him and about making sure he's comfortable and happy. And
well, I'll admit that there were some videos online. I was like, all right, how to be a good stepmother. Like, all right. As you know, deep down, it's like, want to be a good example, but it's like, we're the adults, we're in charge, but still be a good example, to, all right, he's from a split home. I was from a split home, but then I wasn't.
Michael wanted to be very respectful of Dexter's actual father, too. You know, like, that's just a really important thing to him. So he never wanted to be like, I'm here to replace.
Right.
Or, you know, anything like that. And I commend people that take on children that are not biologically theirs is fantastic. It's, it takes a very special person to be able to do that. So
yeah, I agree. So what were your parents like, Michael, when they found out that they were like, oh, we're going to have a built-in little grandbaby? Or were they like, how did that, was that okay, the transition for them?
Oh, yeah. My dad was pumped. My mom was pumped. Very excited. I mean, my parents have wanted grandkids forever, but at the same time, they kind of understood where I was at with the whole kid and marriage thing, because we talked about it. But, you know, then they, it was, I think it really hit when they got to meet Dexter, because it was like, oh, this kid's cool.
Yeah.
He took to my dad like so fast.
Yeah.
It took a little bit for my mom, because she visited less. She was, you know, from another state, and just
and boys talk, with boys. I mean,
Now they're great. Whenever they talk to each other, he's just like, you want to see what we're growing our strawberries outside? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
No, it's cool.
So live together, go through COVID together. When were you like, oh, we're going to get married? You had a fairly long engagement, didn't you?
It was over a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about a year and a half. I was in the mindset that I was not going to ever get married again. But I guess love and things change, right? So here we are. And I think that we just kind of talked it through. We had talked through it for quite some time.
Yeah. All right. Me being a guy, like, who, we're both very no BS type of people. Yeah. Like, all right, hey, look, I don't pick out your clothes or anything else that's really important that's going on your body. Let's go pick out a ring together.
Sure.
And then I'll surprise you with it.
Yeah.
So we designed the ring.
When did we decide we were actually going to get married, though? I don't even remember that.
We were in Kalahari.
Oh, yeah.
When I proposed to you.
That was when we decided.
Well, yeah.
I think we decided before we went to go pick out the ring, if you know what I mean.
We didn't know when it was going to happen.
I know.
Could be a surprise still.
I don't know when we decided that it was. I don't know. I think it just kind of organically happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember the, you know, we just kind of talked about it, those conversations, and just decided that it was right, and we were happy and wanted to make that step. And
it was good. I mean, we were already living together. It's like, now I just needed the piece of paper that says,
might as well take that tax break away, you know? Let's dive into
Right, exactly.
Dive into the married side of things, right?
Which it is, like, when you don't have the pressure on it of, like, I need to be married by the time I'm X years old or whatever.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think both of us would have been and happy just doing it as we were doing it.
Yeah.
It just kind of organically happened.
Yeah.
And ready to do it. We both knew that we wanted to do it in a very casual, untraditional way, and just have it be like a celebration and not this stuffy thing. So
And it's then it's just more fun. It's just, now you're having a party and you're just, like you said, you're just celebrating being together, and it's not this like, you know, okay, now we have to make this monumental step or whatever because X reason why society says or whatever.
Yeah, we more so took it as like, here are these really cool people from all sorts of different backgrounds. And, you know, my ex-father-in-law was at the wedding, and we did the ceremony with Dexter about us coming together as a family, and my uncle married us, and we got married at the Pioneer Place. I mean, pretty untraditional, and we didn't have a DJ. We just did a couple dances, and we had a good party and had fun, and that's really all we wanted to do, was just make it about blending some really cool people together.
Yes, so. Yes, having a party.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So engagement was over a year. So that was the, you kind of have the conversation of like, maybe we're going to do this. We're going to like legally bind ourselves to each other.
Yeah. Yep. And I had talked to my mother about it, and she offered up a pair of earrings of my grandmother's.
Oh.
She was a very special person to me. And that's said, awesome. Hey, if you want to use these in making your ring. So then we did.
Is that the two smaller diamonds on the
side? Yeah, it's the two on the outside. So then we went to wedding day. Shout out to Bobby there. She's great. And we designed a ring together because he was like, I'm not picking this out for you. And I said, okay, well, I want something that not everybody has. So mm-hmm. we got to design something together, which was a lot of fun. And then we went to Kalahari with some friends for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And he proposed on my birthday because my birthday week was,
was your birthday.
A rough week when it came to my divorce. Sure. So he wanted to bring some sunshine to a week that I didn't really care for normally, aww, which was really cute. So, yeah. And he messed with me tremendously.
I could like tell by looking at him.
Effed with me the entire week. Like, I had no...
To tie a shoe and that kind of stuff?
Like...
No, I don't even remember what I did.
Like, just random things. Like, he was like, oh, I need to go buy a safe with our buddy Lunchbox. And I'm like, why? He's an international arms dealer. Why does he need to go to Walmart and buy a safe? Like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense to me. And just all these, like, dorky things, they just kept messing around with me. And so, yeah, he did it on my birthday, and...
We went out to my pickup, cracked open a beer, chuckled, and I had the ring and a, you know, like a little fire safe, uh-huh, that I already had. It was ours, so it's like, stupid, but it worked, because she's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, he put the safe in front of me at Kalahari, and we were in the room. We had spent a couple days there, and it was my birthday. We went out to dinner. We were just hanging out in sweatshirt, and mm-hmm, I told him, I was like, I just want something very casual. I don't need this fluff. No offense, I didn't need flowers or anything like that. No. You did my flowers. Yeah. They were beautiful.
They were beautiful.
But I just I didn't need this whole thing, but... He put this lockbox safe in front of me, and inside of it, it had the case where my grandmother's earrings were inside, mm-hmm, of. And then he wrote me a note that was very, very sweet. And then I turned around, and he was down on one knee, and he proposed. There's a video out there somewhere on social media. Yeah. They took a video of it. That was really cute. And so then we FaceTime our friends and family, and they weren't surprised.
Did you know it was going to happen? That day, did you have any inkling at all?
He was messing with me so hard that I was just like,
something's gonna happen.
We were at dinner, and I was like, well, maybe it'll happen at dinner. And honestly, like, once we got in sweatpants and sweatshirt, I was just like, oh, okay, well, now we can just chill out and hang out. And I was surprised that it happened. I mean, I knew it was coming, but I was surprised on how it happened. He did good.
And you were in charge of the entire design and everything? Like, you...
Yes.
You and the wedding day people?
Michael came with, and they build a cat, I guess it's called, you know, so like that's the technical drawing, and so then you pay for the cat of the drawing, and then you kind of pick out what else you want with it, and they do really great things there, step-by-step process, and yeah.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's awesome that you have your grandma's diamonds in there too.
Yes. Yeah, very special. I'm very happy about that.
So then the engagement, you plan out this whole party, engage for a year, whatever, get married, and then what's kind of the rest of the story?
Well, first we had to get his parents back together in the same room for the first time in a long time.
Oh boy. Was this your parents? They both live in Washington?
This was the day before our wedding.
2 days before. They both live in Washington. They had not been together since Michael was 18, mm-hmm, and had not been in the same room together, I think, for a very, very long time. So Michael...
Well, there's no need to. When
Michael was
nervous. Yeah.
Nervous, needless
to say.
My
brother was worse. My youngest brother, I was in our downstairs. I think I was getting... I was doing something. He comes down with his wine glass, and he's like, what were you thinking? He's like... What?
He wasn't. It was my idea.
And he's like, this is awkward. Like, it's going pretty well. And he's just losing his mind. I'm like, it's okay. So it's like, I was nervous. Yeah. I was trying to be like, no, it's fine.
But I didn't really want the first day of them, like, being back together in the same room to be on our wedding day.
Yeah.
And everything went great. And they're very respectful of one another. Both of his parents are great. And I think it was just more so like, you just naturally get nervous when you have people that are not together anymore and they get together. And I'm sure my son will feel the same exact way when his dad and I are together. You know,
I don't think so.
Maybe not.
Nah, he was young. He's grown up with it.
True, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it went great. And we had all of them in our kitchen in this tiny little confined area and said, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my parents were there as buffers, and it worked out.
They do
so.
A great job at that.
They're great buffers.
Well, it seems, especially too, if like to be such good friends with like your ex-father-in-law and whatever too, to just like, okay, so yes, we're very used to a potentially awkward situation. So,
correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's awesome. Did your parents, did they like just kind of naturally step into that role, or were you like,
especially my father, he was a brand manager of a beer company for 41 mm-hmm. years, and beer guys are naturally very outgoing and have these different personalities. He just kind of helped the room
feel more comfortable.
We have a lot of really great people in our life that it just kind of naturally happened and in a good way.
That's awesome. So then party went well. Did everybody stick around in town for a while, or did they just kind of leave afterwards?
We had a lot of people travel from all sorts of different states. We had people that had to go back the next day just for work, and some stuck around, and yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was a hoot of a time. Michael ordered Taco Bell to our house instead of the hotel room.
Oh, bummer.
He was so mad. Yeah.
I was so tired. And then,
yeah, we had a great cake and beautiful flowers.
Yes. Yes. Your flowers were beautiful.
Yeah.
Getting married is exhausting.
Yeah.
It was fun. Don't get me wrong. But it's like all the pictures, I was done.
Yeah. Entertaining people.
I never. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that wasn't so bad. It was fun when your brothers dragged me off to go have a shot at Old Brick House. It's like, hey, let's get away for a little bit.
We had our groom's dinner at Old Brick House. We had a burger bar and hung out there. We should have just got married that night because everyone was having a rip-roaring good time and stayed up way too late and had a lot of fun. And
I was late for pictures.
Mm. Oh, I think I do remember that. Man. Old Brick House. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, I mean, especially when you've got like it's a bunch of bar people. Everybody's hanging out. Yeah, you're bound to be hungover.
My entire wedding party was all my college buddies. It's like, all right, let's party it up.
Yeah.
And she stayed up late with a couple of her bridesmaids. She stayed up later than I did.
Yeah, no, I think I remember that too.
We did. Yeah, we had the honeymoon suite at the Marriott, which was a lot of fun. And we hung out in the little tub area drinking champagne, and two of my best friends for over 15 years. And, you know, when you put everyone in the same room and it just happens. So,
spilling all the stories and the memories and the heart to hearts.
Yeah, my mom knocked on my hotel room door at 6 a.m. and I was not ready for it. So,
oh, God. You were like, I literally just went to bed, Mom.
Correct.
Yikes. Well, podcast producer Abby just flashed us the 45-minute mark, so we can let you get out of this stuffy little room here. But before I let you go, what's one thing that you love the most about each other?
You go
one
first, thing? Gingy.
You have to only pick one. Just one. The thing you love the most about Jolene. That's why she made you go first.
I need to see where you're going at so that I know.
I'm not good on the spot, though.
Well, you did say she's intriguing, and that's kind of the...
Yeah, but that was early on. Yeah. That's what draws you in. So I give her crap in her work life for being too nice, but she really is a very positive person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I look at the world more of a reality,
mm-hmm.
and she's more of a pessimistic, sunshine and rainbows, you know, farts, mm-hmm. unicorn candy type of thing. And, you know, when I get in my own head, it's nice to have a bright and shiny face going, it's not that bad.
Yeah, she balances you out.
Yeah.
Oh my turn. That was very sweet.
I know, I saved it for when I needed the most.
I love that Michael is so supportive of having a wife that has gone through, and a person that has gone through a lot in her personal life and professional life, mm-hmm. and isn't intimidated by somebody wanting to be strong and successful, and that he is supportive and goes to all these different events and sticks by my side through thick and thin. He is just so kind-hearted, even though he looks like a big
a big redwood tree.
Well, he is, but I just love that he is just so go Joe, you know, like that. It's just so hard to find somebody that is so loving and supportive.
And your biggest fan.
Fan. Like, I just love that he is, my biggest fan. And that, I know this might be two, but don't cut it off. That he took on a really big challenge in becoming a stepfather. And I love that he loves our son so much.
Yeah.
Is probably one of the number one things. It's just, you can't replace that. You can't replace having a person that only loves you, but equally loves your child as well.
And you can't fake that either. So it's like when you see it happening, it's like...
Yep. That you're a two-for-one. And mm-hmm. and even though the kids aren't always going to be there, that he is a big teddy bear and I love it.
Better remember that next time I annoy you too much.
It'll be 5 minutes when we're in the car.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for sharing your love story and being vulnerable with us.
Get your wedding flowers done by Ashley.
And go, of course, have food at Old Brick House.
Yeah,
yes, you can too. Old Brick House was the last drink that I had when it was like the shutdown was happening, and it was like at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, all restaurants have to shut down. I was like, I better get to Old Brick House then. And that was where I had my last drink, legal drink, before the shutdown. Yeah.
Me too.
It's a great place. Yeah.
Me three.
Well, and now we have to get over for some of that delicious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Delicious on the menu. Okay. Well, this episode is sponsored by Old Brick House.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com. And we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.